On the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a mother. God said, I need someone willing to put others before themselves. Someone who will work hard to buy food, to cook a dinner, to clean the table, to make sure her children have had enough before themselves, and to sit down to a cold meal while looking around to her family, happily enjoying what she made. So God made a mother. Quote, I need someone who is strong-willed and strong-minded, but kind-hearted enough to heal a child's wounds and wipe away tears, somebody to watch over, advise, and lead by example. End quote. So God made a mother. God said, quote, I need somebody who will help with science fair projects. And when they don't receive the blue ribbon, will say, maybe next year. I need someone who will stay up all night to soothe the crying baby and not complain when it's already Tuesday and they've slept 5 hours all week. Someone who will watch a child's first steps, cheer at all soccer games, pick out prom dresses, and dry her eyes as she sends her baby off to college. End quote. So God made a mother. God had to have somebody willing to show her child the ropes, instill values and morals, and discipline with kindness, yet firmness. Someone to nurture and encourage. So God made a mother. God said, quote, I need someone strong enough to love a child and then set them free to be their own. Someone who will celebrate small accomplishments and teach important lessons. I need someone to protect her young and hold a home together. End quote. So God made a mother. Quote, somebody who'd bail together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing, who would laugh and then sigh and then reply with smiling eyes when her child says she wants to be mother just like mom someday. End quote. So God made a mother. I read this years ago. I've used this before. It's just as true then as it is today. The images of a mother. At 4 years of age, quote, my mother can do anything. At 8 years of age, quote, my mother knows a lot, a whole lot. 12 years of age, quote, my mother doesn't really know quite everything. 14 years of age, quote, naturally, mother doesn't know that either. 16 years of age, quote, mother, she's hopelessly old-fashioned. 18 years of age, quote, that old woman, she's way out of date. 25 years of age, quote, well, she might know a little bit about it. 35 years of age. Quote, before we decide, let's get mom's opinion. 45 years of age. Quote, wonder what mom would have thought about it. 65 years of age. Quote, wish I could talk it over with mom. Mother's Day can be one of the best days and one of the worst days. My goal this morning is to be sensitive to both groups, maybe even simultaneously at the same time. For some, Mother's Day can be one of the most depressing days of the year, because there are some here this morning that have undoubtedly desired to be mothers and have not been, or as of yet, for whatever reason. Perhaps you are married without any children by choice or by chance. Perhaps you were married at one time and you were not able to have children of your own. Perhaps you are not married and have a burning desire to be married and to be the mother of a brood of children. In other words, this day of the year has a lot of mixed feelings and emotions for a lot of people. There are also some that are reminded of a tragic loss of a child. And every Mother's Day is a major struggle for you just to get through that emotional tragedy. And there are many here this morning where Mother's Day brings to mind the passing of your mother, whether it was recent memory or in the distant past. You are more aware of the void that was left in your life when she left you. My focus this morning is not to discourage those that are not mothers. What I would like to zero in on is the fact that everyone here in this room is here because of our mothers. With your permission, and with the Word of God and the Spirit of God as our guide, I would like to look at our responsibility and our obligation toward that most important person in our own lives, our moms. In other words, I will not be picking out and pointing out those model moms in the Bible. All right, so rest. However, I will be picking out and pointing out what our role toward our moms should be. What does the Bible say about each one of us here this morning? About that person in our lives that is mother to us. Biological mother, grandmother who stepped in, aunt, foster mom, etc. Ephesians chapter 6, if you turn in your Bible there. We'll use that as our kickoff verse, and then we'll pray. My title this morning is Refocus on Mother's Day. Diane, it's nice to have you back. It's nice to see you. Ephesians chapter 6. Edie, Jennifer, Manny, nice to see you this morning. Ephesians chapter 6. Starting in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, period. Nope. It goes on, doesn't it? For this is right. Now, if you don't know this by now, let me remind you. If God says this is right, there's an alternative. There are things that are wrong. I know the world and the culture doesn't say that, doesn't support that. But if the Bible says something is right, then there's got to be something that's wrong. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, if you were here at 9 o'clock in the morning, this is the exact passage of scripture that Jeff used to do our life group. And he quoted this right out of the book of Deuteronomy. Isn't God good? Let's pray. Lord, we'd like to refocus this day on Mother's Day. It's a national holiday. Lord, I personally have a problem with those that focus on one day to be kind to their moms. Mother's Day is a 365 day of the year celebration. We might not recognize it that way, but I wish the moms would. I wish that they would realize that their support, their encouragement, and their attagirls come from the Lord. Even if they don't get it from their kids, their spouse, or their family. Lord, we come today not necessarily to focus in on any one given biblical character, but we are all here today because of our moms. And we'd like to focus today on what our role and our responsibility is. And that biblical qualification. So guide us and direct us. Help us to be sensitive to these biblical principles that we will face and look into this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I looked up the word honor, because that's how it begins. Honor thy father and thy mother. And I found these words in a secular dictionary. And let me just run through them quickly. To honor somebody means to acclaim or to adore, to admire or appreciate, to celebrate or to commend. It means to compliment. It means to dignify or distinguish this particular person. To honor means to esteem or to exalt. It means to glorify. It means to hallow. It means to magnify. To honor means to observe and to praise. To honor means to prize and to revere. To sanctify, to value, to venerate, and worship in quotation marks. Not like some cultures or some countries. Honor, the word, the principle, the behavior, the thought, varies from culture to culture, from nation to nation, from ethnic group to ethnic group. Japanese and Chinese people view honor differently. Egyptians and Syrians might view honor with more similar aspects. Scottish and Irish people might view honor differently than German or French-speaking peoples. Historically, honor can be traced from the beginning of mankind and biblically followed from Adam and Eve to the present day. Certainly, there are many variations and modifications of the term and the application of honor. Yet it should be clear that honor is not the same to all people. Therefore, in order to get a clear understanding of quote-unquote honor, we would do well to focus our attention on the teachings of Scripture and what does the Bible say about it. The wisdom of the world is not without merit, but the wisdom of God is far better. The wisdom of the world might give us bonus points with those of the world, but the wisdom of God will give us a clearer understanding into ourselves and what exactly pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me now to Exodus chapter number 20. That is where the Ten Commandments are first stated. That is where the Lord Jesus Christ was able to quote. That is where Paul the Apostle was able to quote. And if you're familiar with this passage of Scripture, the first four commandments in the Old Testament deal directly with our heavenly relationship and personal relationship with God. The last six commandments focus exclusively on our relationships to each other here on earth. In other words, commandments 1 through 4 are vertical imperatives and commandments, whereas 5 through 10 are horizontal imperatives or commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now, I'd like to spend the entire message talking about what does it mean to biblically honor our fathers and our mothers. Today, obviously, we're going to focus on mothers. It should be clear that my approach this morning and my focus, again, will be on moms and mothers, literally and figuratively. Those women in our lives are and were our natural biological mothers, as well as those women that have stood in their place or in that role in our lives and became mothers to us in every sense of the word. So much so that some of us even call them mom. And they're not a biological mother. So I would like to focus on four aspects of our responsibilities that everyone in the sound of my voice this morning will be accountable to God for. Four things that we all will answer for Every man, every woman, every boy and girl here today will stand before God one day regarding this awesome responsibility. Right? Boys and girls included. Thank you so much for that beautiful music. That was awesome. Thank you. Don't they have beautiful singing voices? The higher notes come from the mama side. The lower notes come from the daddy side. All right. I want to talk about four principles, four aspects of refocusing. First level of honor. Dan, you're going to have to get me another one. First level of honor is regard. To regard. You got those clear ones. I can't see them. What does it mean to regard somebody? Well, simply means to pay attention. Practically, it means to acknowledge the existence of. Yesterday, my oldest granddaughter went into Jason's house. We celebrated Mother's Day yesterday. And Ariella walked in the foyer of the house, 5 years old. Jason's wife, Jess, says, "Hi, Ariella, how are you?" Not once did she stop. So I said, "Ariella, wait a minute. Stop. You will look in your aunt's eyes, and you will say, 'Hi, Aunt Jess, how are you?'" Because she was already in her mind in the playhouse. She was already thinking of all the things and all the mischief she was going to do with Melanie. She had already planned out this entire cousin extravaganza that was going to happen that day. And she didn't even regard the person. You get it, right? So to regard means to display basic forms of politeness and common courtesy one toward another. Proverbs chapter 5, if you would turn there. We're going to do a lot of skipping around and walking in the Bible today. And many of these biblical principles are found in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1 says, "My son, attend, pay attention to, acknowledge my wisdom, and bow down thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest," verse 2, "regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge." In other words, are you even paying attention? Or, hello, is there anybody there? You ever talk to somebody and you feel like they're just looking right through you? Quote, are you even listening to me? To honor someone must begin at the basic level of regard. Jeff pointed out this morning, how can we know a holy God? So he covered 6 or 7 chapters of Deuteronomy in 1 hour's time. But he gave us 4 ways of getting to know God. He started with fear. He started with knowledge. He started with love and then knowing, I think. Following. All right, so we're going to look at 4 different ways that we will be held accountable for our relationship, all of us, with our moms. First level, regard. The foundational level of honor starts with basic politeness and treating someone with common civil dignity. Why is it that we can treat perfect strangers better than we treat our moms? Now, I know it's going to get quiet in here. And there will be times when, I'll let you know right up front, one of these chairs is going to be for you and me. So I'm asking the Lord and the Holy Spirit to remind us individually which principle we sit in this morning. Let's be honest here this morning. For some in this room, you haven't paid a civil you haven't had a civil conversation with your mom in years. For others, you haven't seen your mom in years. Is that the way the God of the universe would have us relate to our mothers? Proverbs chapter 6, if you would turn there. Again, we're going to wear out the book of Proverbs this morning. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Does anybody here really think that is what the Lord would want? The God of the universe designed the family as a mechanism of relational unity for the health of each individual member. Why on earth have we willingly and intentionally eliminated our mothers? But you say, Pastor, how can you say such things? You have no idea what she's put me through. No, I don't. But I do know what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. But, you know, Pastor, we all resist instruction. It's difficult to take constructive criticism from people, especially our parents. The older our parents get, the less we think they know. Then we realize that the older we get, the more we realize we don't know. Does that make any sense? Yeah. You don't have to turn there, but Paul said this of the Jews after they had crucified Christ and were in the process of getting ready to stone Stephen. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. In other words, some of us are just unteachable. To say that in another way, you're stubborn. That's my wife's nickname for me. You're just stubborn. German, stubborn German. We just can't be told. We are beyond reason. We are beyond influence. And maybe some of us are beyond reach. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Would you turn there? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Again, the first chair is the simplest. The first chair is the most basic. The first chair says regard. So in order to honor our parents, we need to regard them. Proverbs 4 verse 1 says, hear, not hear like a dog. It's hear with our ears, ye children, the instruction of our father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. What do I mean about and regarding this first and lowest level of honor? First, acknowledge their presence. Regard their position. Consider their problems. Appreciate their perseverance. And for God's sake, realize that one day you will be in a place where you would like to be regarded by your own children and grandchildren. Therefore, it'd be a good place to start doing the same for your mom. Second level of honor is respect. Second level of honor is respect. Now let's look at the very life of Christ. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 2. We have an illustration when Jesus was a 12-year-old boy and he was in the temple. You're very familiar with the passage of Scripture. The Bible commanded that each family would go to Jerusalem and they would be a part of the Passover celebration. So Jesus and his parents would go to Jerusalem each year, Luke chapter 2, verse 41, at the feast of the Passover, verse 42. And when he, Jesus, was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. So Jesus had spent some time with the scribes and the Pharisees, asking them questions and dealing with the religious leaders in the temple in Jerusalem. In verse 48, it says, "And when they," Jesus' parents, "saw him," Jesus. Now let's pause for a minute. This is the first Home Alone situation movie that was ever made. So Jesus was left behind. His parents had left. They were already back on their way to Nazareth. And they just assumed, because Jesus was a perfect child, that he would be with the group. He would be with the community. He would be the village. They were traveling together. They were like a caravan. And they just assumed, the aunts and the uncles and the cousins, that everybody knew where Jesus was, except mom and dad. Where's Jesus? So after a day trip, has anybody seen Jesus? Nope. So they go back for a day, spend another day looking for him. Verse 48, "And when they saw him," Jesus, "they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And then one of the most famous quotes Jesus ever says, "Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business." Now, Jesus wasn't trying to be disrespectful in any way, shape, or form, because this passage of Scripture ends in verse 51. It says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. So the God of the universe submitted himself, surrendered himself to his parents. What do I mean by the word respect? Or the number two qualification for Mother's Day. I guess I mean what it used to mean. Respect was something in the old days that was taught. Now I listened to and I was tempted to follow advice of an individual that I respected highly when I was first teaching a Christian school, middle school and high school science. This individual said, respect should be expected. Respect should be expected. What I learned was respect needs to be earned. Respect in the old days used to be taught. You learned about it in your home. Your dad and your mom reminded you of it daily. Now, I understand that some of us here this morning have vivid memories of what that teaching looked like. For some, it was corporal punishment. To others, it was the withdrawal of privileges. To others, it meant you missed meals. To others, you were forbidden access to activities. And the list goes on and on. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13, if you'd go there. Proverbs 23, 13. It says, withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, we're not going to take that passage of scripture out of context that says, oh, I'm going to beat him to death. Even though that's what you might think and you might have said. No, we're going to compare scripture with scripture. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. We're basically talking about training a child in the way he should go. And if you don't, you'll pay for it later. That's the RSV version, the Richard Shear version. Is anybody here old enough to remember the days of respect training? You know, you were a wise guy and you were feeling your oats one day and decided to tell your mom off. Or that you were not going to do something she told you to do. Proverbs 29, if you'd turn there. Proverbs chapter 29. Now again, I'm focusing on moms. I'm going to try to focus on stay there. Proverbs 29, 15. The rod and reproof, correction, instruction, give wisdom. And the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, but a child left to himself does what? Bringeth his mother to shame. In the old days, that usually produced, if you're going to sass your mom, a slap across the face, or a beating across the behind. I'm talking about the old days, of course. And for sure, a statement like, just wait till I tell your father when he comes home. You know what that meant. Now, my mom was about 4'11". She was about 110 pounds. My dad was 6'2", over 200. I feared my mom, for sure. She knew how to correct four kids before dad got home. And then when dad got home, we got the second dose. Proverbs 22, if you turn there. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22, verse 15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That doesn't mean they're always foolish. And that doesn't mean that when they make a mistake or they have an accident, that you as a parent think, oh, you did that on purpose. They spilled their milk. Accidents happen. However, deliberate things are different. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness. There were consequences back in the day for a lack of respect. I'm not even going to talk about the public schools. Well, we can't even have that conversation. Or school buses. I heard my son-in-law talk a little bit about what school buses are like for drivers. Now remember, respect was taught, was trained, it was practiced, and it was rehearsed daily at home. So if something like this went on at school, well, the old saying back then was, the teacher's always right. The teacher's always right. Now that might have been always, not always true, but usually you got beat first just because the teacher said so. And then they listen to your story. You're thinking to yourself, was it really like that then? Yeah, anybody over 45 or 50 would say, yeah, that's how it was. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19. If you were smart-mouthed and sassy at school, sometimes you even got it from the teacher. Jason's nodding his head, so you must have been one of those. The gym teacher or the teacher? Teacher had a paddle. My sixth grade teacher had a paddle. Mr. Bosco, 6'2", basketball coach. Bend over. Bang! Right there in front of class. Proverbs 19:18. I know, I've been there. Chasten thy son while there is hope. So there's a time frame. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Respect was taught. There were consequences for not showing outward regard and obedience. And what about that young whippersnapper who thought he was all that and in his heart felt that his father was a pushover and a wimp, and one day, blatantly and in his face, he told his father off? Now, depending upon the father and the consequences of such an episode, this could have been life-changing for good or life-changing for bad. Proverbs 13, if you turn there. Proverbs 13, verse number 24 says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. What I mean by this level of respect is a sense of fear and a sense of honor. Do you brag on your parents because they taught you the good and the right way? Or do you badmouth them because they tried to train you and produce some kind of godly character within you? Are you carrying a grudge or harboring hatred because of your child training years? No, your parents weren't perfect. Just so if you didn't already know, there are no perfect parents. But they did at least try. Nowadays, parents want to be friends with their kids. Their one desire is to be liked and accepted by them. How do I know? Just look at the way parents dress around their teenage kids. Listen to what they say to them. Watch what they watch and listen to what they listen to. Where are the parents that were willing to endure the storm of the terrible twos? Where are the parents that are willing to endure the storm of preschool? Where are the parents that are willing to endure the storm of the elementary school years? Where are the parents that are willing to endure the storm of adolescence? Where are the kids that refuse to obey and comply with their mother? Where are the kids that harbor bitterness, anger, and even hatred toward their mothers? Unfortunately, they are on the trash heap of emotional, psychological, and spiritual problems. Third level, honor thy father and thy mother. Third level is reverence. Reverence. Now, I'm on the board of directors at Lancaster Youth Bureau, and the administrative secretary, I don't know why she did this, sweetheart, Mrs. Graber, she'd always call me Reverend. All the time, every meeting. She only lives 8 houses away from us. Hi, Reverend. It's always Reverend. What do I mean by reverence? To regard someone or something with deep, profound, genuine respect. To revere means to be deeply devoted to admire, to worship, to be in awe, to be astonished. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Maybe the one time all sermon that we'll get out of the book of Proverbs. Hebrews chapter 12, third level of honor is reverence. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us when we were wrong we misbehaved, our parents would correct us. And we gave them reverence. Shall not we much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So here we're talking about a very common, very carnal, and very normal response. This is how parents will raise and train the next generation. So reverence is a profound respect and esteem mingled with fear and affection. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15. Look at verse 20 with me. A wise son, not a Weisheimer, or other derivations of that phrase. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. If you despise your mother, the Bible says you're a fool. The act of revering, a token of respect or veneration. To revere is something more than respect. Proverbs 19, if you would go there. Proverbs 19. I'm reminded of the prodigal son in this passage of Scripture. Proverbs 19, verse 26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. So in other words, this third level of honor means to treat with reverence, to regard with respect and affection, mingled with fear. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23. Now, I'm not suggesting that if we were to do these things, that our mother would change, that our mother might be more loving, more caring, might be more understanding, might be more sympathetic. I'm not saying that. What the Bible is clearly saying is that our attitude, our heart condition toward our mother will determine incredible things regarding us. It'll say more about us than about them. Proverbs 23:22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee. That's enough. And verse 22, despise not thy mother when she is old. Isaac displayed reverence and godly honor toward his father Abraham on Mount Moriah. Joseph honored his father Jacob and never regarded him in less than an honorable way. There are a countless number of biblical examples of those that revered their parents. Proverbs chapter 20. Please turn there. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Now that verse has a number of meanings. I could prove through other passages of Scripture that that lamp there refers to your conscience. It also could mean your physical life, your mortal life, but I believe that passage of Scripture refers to your conscience. The more you curse your father and the mother, the more your conscience becomes dead and dark and just almost irretrievable. After Solomon was made king of Israel, his father, David, wanted to do some cleaning up in the kingdom, if you remember. And Solomon's half-brother, Adonijah, tried to steal the throne away from Solomon. In fact, his act of treason and conspiracy ultimately cost Adonijah his life. In 1 Kings chapter number 2, we have a brief, if you would turn there, 1 Kings chapter 2, we have a brief description of how Solomon treated his mother. I've only got one more point, and I'll be finished. 1 Kings 2, verse 18, and Bathsheba said, well, I will speak for thee unto the king. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her, this is King Solomon, bowed himself unto her. Bathsheba was the mother of Solomon. He bows unto her and sat down on his throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat where? On his right hand. Then she said, I desire one small petition of thee, I pray thee. Say me not nay. And the king said unto her, ask on, my mother, for I will not say thee nay. Reverence goes beyond fear and beyond consequences. Reverence goes beyond obedience and its consequential rewards. Reverence goes beyond respect, which is certainly a mature step toward reverence. Lastly, on the fourth area of honoring our moms is the word reward. Jason did this last week. He used the timeout. I got to use a timeout. This is the wrong word. This is the word for the finale. This word should be remember. Remember. If you can't read it, just remember what I said. Remember. So how do we honor our mothers? We pay tribute to, we celebrate them. Sandy, that was a great poem. That was a great segue to everything that we're doing this morning. Do you talk fondly about your mom? Are your memories of her honorable or hateful? Are her good points rehearsed in the ears of your children? What kind of a picture do you paint of your mom to your kids? Have you been raising your mother to a place of honor? Are you blameless toward your mother? Or do you harbor bitterness or jealousy or resentment or hard feelings over issues that have never been settled? Have you been on the receiving end of misunderstanding, neglect, or maybe even rejection? What is holding you back from elevating your mom to a place of tribute? Proverbs chapter 30, if you would go there. Proverbs chapter 30. Kathy, thank you for contributing in Proverbs chapter 31 about the virtuous woman. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11 says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Verse 13, there is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Okay. Now, what do we do with this? What is the last point I have regarding our application? Well, you already have the fifth word. I want to use the word to reward. To bestow upon someone accolades, tribute, and thoughtful appreciation. The Bible clearly teaches that followers of Jesus Christ will one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will be judged for what we've said, for what we've done, and for what we thought, as well as what we could have done, what we could have thought, what we could have said. At that judgment day for Christians, crowns will be granted or crowns will be withheld. At that judgment day for Christians, the fire of God will either purify our works and our motives, or the fire of God will consume our works and motives of the flesh. In other words, in this life, reward your mom. If you are dense and void of ideas, for goodness sake, go on the internet for ideas. No, seriously. I've said this once, I'll say it again. When my daughter was getting married, my oldest, I went on the internet and said, what are the responsibilities of a dad when he gives his daughter away in marriage? You know how many hits I got? Lots. I didn't want to make a Steve Martin mistake. Father of the Bride, you ever seen it? Don't. It'll get you so discouraged. He missed everything for his daughter's wedding because he was trying to do everything right and it all fell apart. Same is true when it comes to being appreciative to others. But if you've been a blockhead all your life, don't overwhelm her all of a sudden with gushing love and gifts. You know, you'll overwhelm her. She'll think you've lost your mind. Be genuine. Be sincere. Be thoughtful. Be gracious. And by all means, be patient. But don't wait until she's dead and gone. You'll be filled with regret, remorse, and guilt. If you have the time, take the time and reward her for a job well done. You might not think it was the best job, but you will also be judged by your own kids. Give her the benefit of the doubt. Get to know what it's really like raising you and your tribe. I want to finish with the Best Mom Award, and then we're going to have an invitation song and a video. Best Mom Award by Carl Fuchs. For all the things I didn't say about how I felt along the way, for the love you gave and the work you've done, here's appreciation from your admiring son. You cared for me as a little tot when all I was cried a lot. And as I grew, your work did too. I ran and fell and got black and blue. I grew some more and it didn't stop. Now you had to become a cop. To worry about mistakes I'd make, you kept me in line for my own sake. I got older and the story repeated. You were always there whenever I needed. You guided me and wished me the best. I became wiser and knew I was blessed. So for all the times I didn't say, the love I felt for you each day. Mom, read this so you can always see just how much you mean to me. Mom, thanks for everything. Let's pray.